Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way. And I just wanted to share this message with you once again. I had a hard time putting it together this week because of you get one day you feel good and then you get maybe a day. And I had a couple of days right at the period of time I was supposed to be putting the message together. But you join me by the way of WION, I-1430 AM. Or 92.7 FM, and over in the lower area, it's 100.3 FM. And I welcome each and every one of you that's tuned me in by this station. Others are tuned me in by way of WGRM, 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock, and we are now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Some others have tuned in by the way of internet radio, at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock, and some of you are listening by the way of my website, and I welcome each and every one of you. I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial part of the broadcast time. So a big thank you to Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. She lives in Orleans. A big thank you to Bill and Judy Hammond. They live in building, and also looking thanks to Shiloh Community Church. That's where I pastored for 50 years. I haven't been there for about 4 weeks now. I'm hoping to try to go Sunday. I'm getting a little stronger. But I'll give you an invitation to attend the services. We start out Saturday night at 6:30, then Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. And then we have a contemporary service at 10:45. That's what we do at Shiloh. And then we have a campus over in Greenville that we got started. It meets at the old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Grove and Luray Street. And that service is at 11 o'clock. And then K.N. King Singer, she's been so faithful in picking out my music, and I appreciate that so much. And she's still continuing to do it, and that makes me feel good. And she does a good job in picking out the music. And the first song that she's picked out is it's a little different thought, but it's a good thought because of the realization that whenever we get wounded, there's a scar. And this song is saying, "Heal the wound beneath my scar." And you know, when the Lord Jesus, when he died on the cross, they drove spikes into his hands and his feet. And you know, one day he tells us there's going to be somebody say to him, in heaven's glory, or else around the world, what are those scars? And I like the answer that Jesus gives. He says, that's where I was wounded with my friends. He was wounded for us, folks, and that's something that's pretty special. So we're going to get started on this song, and I'll be right back and share some more of the message with you, and we're looking forward to doing whatever God wants us to do as we endeavor to walk with him. Right now, I don't seem to be... There we go. Now I think it's going to work a little better. Yeah, we just have to push one button, then another button. Here we go, folks, and God bless each one of you, and thank you for tuning me in.
Pretend
To heal the wound beneath the scar. And those scars, we all have different ones. Things that we've done in the past that we wish we hadn't done. Times when we spoke when we wish we would have been quiet. All that is a part of the realization that's why we needed Jesus. And that's why he needed to come. And that's why he was willing to come. We never can forget the fact that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. We never can forget the fact that the Lord Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, that one would be willing to die for another. And then he did that dying for each and every one of us. And that's pretty special. So as we get ready for the message this morning, I just want to bow for a moment of prayer. And I want to pray for you, the listening audience. You're the reason I'm sitting here at my table in my dining room. I can't get up the steps yet to my lighthouse, so we brought everything over here. And I'm sitting at the dining room table, but the lake, when I got started this morning, was just like a piece of glass as I looked out my front door, my front window, and it just looked beautiful, and I'd like to have been over there to the lighthouse. But maybe in the near future, I will be able to do that. I am gaining strength, and for that, I am grateful. It's so little bit at a time, but we take whatever progress we can do and realize that's the place where I'm at for life right now. So let me remember you in prayer and whatever you're going through. Dear Father, when we go through difficulties, it makes us realize that there's every day there's different people going through difficulties. And right now, Father, I have to say that when I look around, I can see somebody who's in a whole lot worse condition than I am physically. And so we just thank you for the strength and the courage you give each one. And we just pray your special blessing would be upon us and to guide us and direct us as we go through those difficult times. Because we realize that as we're thinking of the listening audience, there's some going through cancer. There's some going through the loss of a loved one. There's others going through problems with a family unit. others going through problems with finances. And whatever it is, Father, there's a lot of good blessings coming from you too. We're just not thinking on the negative side. But we realize, Father, that you are there to meet our needs. And I just thank you, Jesus, that you promised you would never leave us. You would never forsake us. You would never abandon us. That we might realize that we have someone to go to that is willing to listen to us and give us the strength that we need as we think about your goodness to each and every one of us. It makes us want to ask for forgiveness for anything that we've done that would be displeasing to you. So would you speak to our hearts today? Would you comfort and strengthen whatever is needed for the listening audience? Would you meet their every need according to your will? And I'll thank you and praise you for that in that beautiful name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Well, better get another little breath, I guess, as we get started this morning. My message is, there's a harvest from pain. You know, when you go through pain, you hope there's going to be some good comes from that. I like the way the Bible teaches us about the birth of a baby. A mom going through that birthing process, which is really painful for her. But then she said, all of a sudden it says, then she forgets the pain when she sees a little baby. That's the harvest of pain, of giving birth to a child. There's going to be harvest and pain. I can only identify with it. I can't do it with giving birth to a baby. But I can identify with it when I had to have my knees replaced. I put up with it a long time. And finally, when I was not able to sleep at night, I said, well, I guess it's time to get that done. Well, I've got to be honest, there was a lot of pain. A lot of pain, not only in surgery, as a result of surgery, but there was a lot of pain that happened because of the realization of therapy. And right now I'm doing a lot of therapy, trying to get my body to react to it and be stronger. But you know something? The therapy was painful. And it just started getting better and better. But now the harvest of pain was, after I got through the therapy, then there was no more the pain keeping me awake at night and the pain that there was from the knee. And so I'm so glad that I got it done. And you know, that's what we need to realize. There needs to be a harvest from pain, and that'll give us a realization that we can do better. I told you I'm making a little progress. One thing I was able to do because of the weather being warmer this week, I was able to get on my quad, which I have a set-down quad that's got a cab and stuff, and I could drive down to the lake. And I sat there at the lake and listened to some podcasts that I have and just sat there for a few minutes and enjoy watching the water. And you know, that made me feel better, gave me some strengthening process and made me think that this week is going better than the other weeks because this is the first time I was able to do that. And so that was pretty special. And that's what I want you to think, that sooner or later there's going to be some good coming from the pain that you've enjoyed. I love how the story of how God and the people work together to bring down the walls of Jericho. In the book of Hebrews, the hall of fame, so to speak, of faith. In Hebrews 11:30 it says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. Now God's strategy is always not the way that we think about going at something. God goes at things a little different way. That's why when you're working with somebody, you want to let God lead you and direct you, because his ways are different than your ways and his thoughts are different than your thoughts. But in the book of Joshua, we read that story. So let me just read that for you. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout or make any noise when we get ready to march around the walls. Everybody's voices to be silent. Not shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you will shout." So he had the ark of the Lord circle the city. And I don't know how he did it, but all those people were going around the city. Nobody was supposed to say anything. They were just out for a sly, silent walk. And they came to the camp and lodged in the camp. And the second day they did a march around the city once again. And they did that for 6 days. I think the people in the cities were wondering, what in the world are these crazy people doing? But it came to pass on the seventh day that he rose up very early about the dawning of the day. And he marched around the city. But they didn't do it once. They did it 7 times. 7 times they marched around the city. And when they got through walking, marching around the city, on the seventh time it happened when the priest, he blew the trumpet. That was God's design. And Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." So the people shouted, and the priest blew the trumpet. And it happened when the priest, it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, that the people shouted with a great shout. And all of a sudden, the walls fell flat. My goodness. Can you believe that? I believe that, because God said it. I believe it because God's ways of doing things is different than our ways of doing things. Those walls were wide. I remember reading some places where it said those walls were so wide they could take a chariot on top of it and the chariot could turn around. So that's a really, really wide wall. What a strange way to bring down the walls of Jericho. But I'm so glad that people obeyed. And God and the people together had a plan. And the people's obedience to faith in God, the walls came down. Have you noticed in your life, we all have some walls that we built. Sometimes we build walls of protection. We want to keep ourselves safe from certain things. I've been noticing as I drive around, I haven't been driving around for a month now, but whenever we go anywhere, I notice how many privacy walls is being put up in our society today. A lot of people wanting to keep to themselves, so to speak. And you see, that's what's so different, is because God is telling us to reach out to one another. But we'll get to that in a moment. This is the work Jesus and each of us need to do. God wants us to do some work for him, and he wants us to do it with him. You know, he went on to say in the book of Ephesians that that's what Jesus came to do. He came to tear down walls between people. He came to tear down those things that separate people from one another. Let's continue on for just a moment, then we'll listen to a song. I don't know how much of this message I will get done because I'm wanting to share some other things with you. But the harvest from pain is going to help us as we continue to learn, because what it's going to make us want to do is our very best. But you know, in the life of the Lord Jesus, when I started with Jesus, I'm sure he had many times when his heart was broken in dealing with humanity. But I want to focus on the Lord Jesus and his ministry and a broken heart in response to the ministry. The story of Jesus about having a broken heart has taught me to realize that we have to do things with our heart. We have to think about things with our heart. Let me just read this story of Jesus and what he went through. Now it happened, as he went into Jerusalem, that he He passed midst of Samaria and Galilee. He entered into a certain village, and there met him 10 men who were lepers. They stood afar off, because that's what they're supposed to do. They lifted up their voices and they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourself to the priest." That's what, if you had leprosy, and then if leprosy was healed, you had to show yourself to the priest. "Go show yourself to the priest," he tells them. And so they went on their way. And as they started to walk, they saw they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was cleansed, he came back to Jesus and he fell down on his knees before him. And with a loud voice, he glorified God. He fell face at Jesus' feet. He fell face down. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, now listen, this is his broken heart. "Were there not 10 healed? Where are the 9? Only this Samaritan, he was looked at as a foreigner. Only this foreigner has returned to give me thanks. Where are the 9? That should ring in our ears. Where are the 9? You know, the realization that God is reminding us that that's something that is very difficult for even the Lord Jesus. He wasn't doing it to get a thank you, folks. I don't do things and you shouldn't do things to get a thank you. But thanks will come, as we see. But maybe only 1 out of 10 will appreciate it. No, I wanted to say this. Jesus, he healed these lepers, and only 1 out of 10 of them returned to give him a word of thanks and appreciation. But you know what? That never stopped Jesus from healing lepers. He continued to heal lepers. And we need to realize that when somebody doesn't seem to appreciate what you've done for them, that don't mean quit doing things for other people. Because the one did appreciate it. Matter of fact, he even hesitated about going to the priest, which would let him go back into society. He came back to Jesus instead and gave him thanks. And sometimes, you know, you might notice it's the ones that you never would think would say thank you, that pause and say thank you. And that makes it pretty special, because that's what God wants from us. I want to share this today because last week our study, we talked about all the good things that God does in our life. And he told us he wanted us to reach out and touch other people. He wanted us to be busy doing something that would bring glory to God. And I want you to be aware of the fact that when you do something and it's really a benefit to somebody else, it doesn't mean that everybody is going to have a grateful, thankful heart. And you shouldn't do it for that reason anyway, because we're doing it for the realization that we want to please God and whatever he has for us to do. Somebody said, you know, that there's a person who needs some help, and you may be the hands and the feet of Jesus. So if somebody has not appreciated, please, please, don't stop doing things because of that person. I know what I've always said is, I won't let that person have control of me in that kind of a way when I've been doing for others. And we need to reach out and realize that God is saying to us, I want you to continue on doing it. Whether you get any thanks or whatever, he notices. God's going to notice every single thing you've ever done that's been a benefit for the kingdom of God. So we need to realize that we're going to come up to the next, after the song, we're going to talk about when you and I sometimes we fail. We fail miserably, and God wants us to know that He wants us to keep on keeping on. That's what He wants us to get out of this message this morning, I believe, is when you're going to have some harvest from the pain that you went through, don't let somebody else stop you from going through the, from reaching out and being a help to one another. This song is telling us, oh, that I would be the one. God bless you.
They long to behold their wish He granted. Then they all ran away. One of them returned to Him and fell at His feet with tears of joy. To the Master all thanks. Let me be the one to say thank you when all others have turned and walked away. If just one soul for what you've done, this is my prayer, Lord. Let me be the one. I came to Jesus, my life full of sin. My dreams were shattered, my world in disarray. But His tender grace my sin erased, and He made my life anew. I've got to praise Him. That's the least that I can do. Let me be the one to say thank you when all others had turned and walked away. If just one soul
let me be the one. Wouldn't that be the thought of each one of us? We would want to be the one that came back and said, Jesus, thank you. Maybe we'll pause here for a few moments and just ask, when's the last time you said to God and to the Lord Jesus, thank you? Thank you for something He had done for each one of you. And we need to say thank you. We need to realize that we don't just take for granted all the blessing that He's done for each one of us. I got to tell you folks, when you're set aside, homebound, and you can't get out, and you got to try to gain your strength back. I've learned some things to be thankful for, the littlest things in life. So many dear people have come over and helped us with different things, and that means so much to me. So many other people have offered their help, and some of it we've had to take them up on. But you realize, you know, how grateful you have to be, because you appreciate all that God and others have done for you. And with that thought in mind, we need to realize that we need to reach out like that, because sometimes we're thinking we're going to make it. We're strong. We're. And I believe Peter kind of thought that way. When Jesus was telling them one day that he was going to die, and it's stated in the Old Testament about 700 years before Jesus was born, so Jesus knew this stuff before he was even born. And this is what it says, that when they arrested Jesus, all of his disciples were going to scatter. They said when they attacked the shepherd, the sheep scatter. And that's what they were getting ready. Jesus was telling them, you got to be careful, guys, because in the days that lie ahead, you're going to deny me. You're going to run away from me. And Peter, he's really strong. And Peter said, well, everybody else may run, but I'm not running. If I have to, I'll die with you. If they're attacking you, they're going to attack me. And that sounded so good. But Jesus said, Peter, I got to tell you, I like what he said to him. I prayed for you. Because I prayed, and what I prayed for, you are going to deny me 3 times today, this evening. And when you deny me, the rooster's going to go cock-a-doodle-doo. And Peter said, I'm not going to deny you. I will die with you. Jesus said, I prayed for you, Peter, that after you get through that period of denial, then when you come back, you're going to be strong and you're going to help all the others along your life. So let's read the story. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut. I got that. This is Peter denied the Lord Jesus, and he did what he was said. But then after the resurrection, you know, Peter was, this is when his story is, I'm sorry about that. Jesus came into the room that they were in. They had the doors all locked. And all of a sudden, Jesus was standing there, and he says, peace be with you. When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And this is the way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and 2 other disciples were together. And all of a sudden Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we're going with you. Also, they went out immediately, got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. What I wanted to show you is how Jesus restored Peter and after he had denied him. Peter had been living with this for a few days now, that he had denied the Lord Jesus. And you know, memories are either a friend or an enemy. I think of them not as bad memories. I think of memories as sad memories, things we wish never happened. Jesus had told Peter, you're going to deny me? Peter had told Jesus, I never will. And then he denied Jesus. And the rooster went cock-a-doodle-doo. And Peter went out and he wept bitterly. But now, this here time, Jesus told the disciples when he was with them, you go to Galilee and you stay there and I'll come and see you in Galilee. So they went there and they waited for a little while. Then all of a sudden Peter said, I'm going fishing. He's going back to his old way of living. He's going back to doing what he had done before. Remember, he was a fisherman. And Jesus called him and said, you'll be a fisher of men. And Jesus told him that he had prayed for him. And Jesus said, afterwards, when you get through when this denying process, that pain is over, I want to use you to reach many different people. So they went out fishing, and they didn't catch a single thing. And all of a sudden, they see a person walking along the shore in John 21. But when the morning came, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you got any food? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast their net on the right side of the boat, and they drawed up a multitude of fish. And of Jonah, and then when they called up this, it's taking me a little trouble right now, but because he caught this multitude of fish, and one of the disciples, John, said, that's Jesus. And all of a sudden, Peter jumped in the water and he made it to shore. And when he got to shore, there, Jesus had some breakfast ready. He had some fish already cooking. Can you think of that? He had some kindness. Going to do a little meal, a little breakfast with them. So they had breakfast. And after breakfast was over, Jesus went to Peter. And he said, Peter, got a question to ask you. Do you love me? Do you love me, Peter? And Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. Then Jesus said, I want you to feed my sheep. I want you to work for me. Then he asked him again a few minutes later, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my lambs. He waited a little while. And all of a sudden, Jesus asked a third time, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Peter was offended because he asked him the third time. But doesn't that make sense to you? Afterwards, I think it made sense to Peter. I denied him three times. Every time I said, I don't know you. I don't know this one Jesus. I'm not a part of that organization or that plan. And Jesus had him say, I love you, for every time that he denied him. How special is that? To realize that that's the way God wants us to understand. He's able to reach out to our life. You know what, folks? There's no guarantee that you and I won't mess up with him. But I do like to have you know this, that when we mess up, he doesn't write us off. He doesn't write us off when we mess up. Instead, he'll come and help us make it right. And you know what? That's exactly what Jesus did. He did it on a one-on-one basis. And he came and he made it right with Peter so he could restore Peter to that relationship. And it's Peter that we read about in the book of Acts, that when there's been asked a lot of questions, Peter stood up and he preached. And when Peter got through preaching, 2,000 people responded to the message and received the Lord Jesus and were baptized. You know what? That's pretty special. the one that denied him, God used to bring about others to trust him. And that's pretty special. So what we need to learn from that is God wants us to know that even if we mess up, if we fail along the journey, we need to know that God is saying to us, that's the pain of failure. But out of the pain of failure, I'm still going to bring forth something that is very good and something that is very special. I got one more little thing I'd like to share with you before my voice runs out. I'm just thanking the Lord for the voice that I have this morning. The Bible teaches us that we need to realize that God wants to use us in a way that will help individuals along the journey of life. This story I really love, it says this. Now it happened on a certain day, as Jesus was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Jordan, and Jerusalem. Seems like these religious leaders got together and they said, let's invade Jesus' teaching. So there's a whole big group of them that have gathered together and listened to Jesus preach. And the power of the Lord was present to heal. Then behold, men brought on bed a man who was paralyzed. And he couldn't walk, so they carried him on a stretcher or a bed. And when they got there was such a big crowd of people there that they couldn't get anywhere where Jesus was teaching. All the houses had flat roofs in those days. So they climbed up on a flat roof and they began to take some things away. And they opened a hole in the flat roof. And they took their cords that wrapped around their robes and so on, tied it onto the bed, and they lowered this paralyzed man right down in front of Jesus. And I got to tell you, what they did is they interrupted Jesus' teaching. And I believe too, all the people was all of a sudden looking up there and seeing these men do this. And there are probably some afraid they're going to drop him. But finally he lands on the floor where he's supposed to be, right next to Jesus. And Jesus looked up and saw those men. I personally believe there was four. And he looked up and he saw those four men and he saw their faith. That these men went through so much to get this man here, that Jesus looked at the man and he said to him, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Now the religious people didn't like that. Remember, there's a lot of them gathered there. Began to reason, saying, who is this that speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? He thinks he's God. And then Jesus listening to him, he knew their reasoning. And so then he said to them, why are you reasoning in your heart? Let me ask you a question. Which is easy to do, to say to this man, your sins are forgiven? You just seen them carry him here. You just seen him lower him down here on the stretcher. Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven, or is it easier to say stand up and walk? But that you might know that this one Jesus has the power to forgive sin. He turned to the paralyzed man and he said to him, stand up and walk. And that man stood up. He said, pick up your bed and carry it back with you. Boy, I got to tell you, the people were astonished. But not the religious leaders. They weren't touched by that. But I love the way Jesus did that. Which is easier to say? Are you one that wants to stand up and walk? Or is it easy to say, your sins are forgiven? But you know, we all need to know that this one Jesus has the power to forgive sins. And that's why he wants us to come to him, just like this group of people needed to do the same. Even the religious people needed to realize they needed to ask Jesus forgiveness. And you know what he's saying to us and what he's saying to us is as we go through life, he wants us to get up and start walking, doing some things to help other people. One more thought that I'd like to share before we listen to the closing song. The closing song, I got to tell you what I did. I was thinking this week was Memorial Weekend would be Monday. And so I had KN picking out my songs, and so she picked out a song talking about that we need to trust God. And, you know, all of a sudden I realized Memorial Sunday is not this weekend, it's next weekend. So we're going to have a head start on that when I close the song. I need to tell you that because the song doesn't match what we've been talking about this morning. But it does match that we need to realize America needs to trust God. This is one more thing I wanted to share with you. It's not only you and I being able to work with God and God work with us, but there's some projects that are big. And it needs more people. And I love it that there's a story about the walls of Jerusalem were all toppled down. The enemy had done that. And Jerusalem was in a mess, the city of Jerusalem. The walls were down. There's just all kinds of mess there. And one day there's a man by the name of Nehemiah. And he heard that the walls were down. So he decided to go take a look. And after he took a look, God put a burden on his heart to build the walls back up again. So he was a cupbearer to the king. He always tasted all the food to make sure the king didn't get poisoned. And so he went to the king and he said, the king said to him, "You're sad today. Why are you sad?" And he said, "Well, I just found out our hometown, Jerusalem. I went there to see it. The walls are all knocked down. It's quite a mess. And I'd like to go there and build the walls back up again." So the king said to him, how much time do you need?" He wasn't for sure. And then Nehemiah said to the king, "We also need a lot of supplies." And the king said, "I'll provide the supplies. And you go take the time you need to do what you want to do." And so they left. Now he has the supplies. He has permission to go do that. So he needs some help. And that's what I want you to learn this morning as we close. God wants us to work with others. You know, I'm so glad for the church that's out there, the Shiloh. But I'm so glad it was just not that little teeny building that there was when we went there. We just called a new pastor. He'll be coming in July. And we're just glad for him and glad for the work. But I'm glad there's a building set in there. A building that they can use to do the very best in the kingdom of God work that they're capable of doing. And that makes it something special. But you know what, folks? When we built that church, we always did it with volunteer labor. We had 4 building programs, and we'd invite the people to come and help. And the people showed up to help. And how special that was as we got done building the building. They all had a sense of appreciation of working together. And you know what that taught us as a church? It taught us no matter what work we were doing, to work together. And together we was able to build that building and be able to see what progress was made one step at a time. I just need to remind you that you need to serve God in a way that not just not you and God, but on some bigger projects that you work with other people who God would have you to work with to accomplish some big projects. It took them 52 days, but they built those walls, and they had a lot of competition of people laughing at them and everything else, but they were able to build the walls. Now let me just mention this closing song. In God we still trust. Thinking of Memorial Day weekend next weekend, I want us to consider God's blessing upon our lives for the fact that he wants us to trust in God. It says it on our coins, in God we trust. Says it on some of the dollar bills. But in America right now, there's a lot more people just soon not have it say anything about God. But I got to tell you, I love the idea. In America, we can still trust in God. And that's what he wants us to do. And so I just trust as we listen to this song in closing, God will bless you and thinking about next week. Thank you for letting me share with you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
You place your hand on his Bible when you swear to tell the truth. His name is on our greatest monuments and all our money too. And when we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under him. In God we still trust. Here in America, he's the one we turn to every time the going gets rough. He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us. Here in America, in God we still trust. Who watches over